Well, I was reading this the other day, and I wanted to share it with you. And let me just read this again. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, that's Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. He's talking to the church that was at Thessalonica. That no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed unto. That means we're going to go through some things. How many realize that?
Oh, yeah.
I do now, Pastor. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we would suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass. And you know, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. But now when Timothy came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, and we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before God, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, toward all men, even as we do towards you. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Father, we thank you today, God, for your wonderful word. Every time, Lord, that we open it up, you begin to speak something to us, Lord. Lord, and that's what we want today, something relevant, Lord, what we're going through right this moment. Lord, you always seem to know exactly what we need to hear, Lord, and that's what we want today, God. To just anoint, Lord, the word that you've given us. Lord, we're expecting great things, God, today. Lord, just go ahead and have your will and your way, Lord, in Jesus' name. You know, we were talking about something similar to this last week, about how Paul had sent Titus to the Corinthians to make sure that they had accepted his correction. Now, here he goes, and he sent Timothy to establish and do comfort. It is that Greek word parakaleo, a word from which we get the name of the Holy Spirit. So it's saying here that Paul sent Timothy to stabilize the Thessalonians through the power of the Holy Spirit. How many realize it's the Holy Spirit that will cause you to be strong, to be able to stand, church, when you don't think you can stand? Bible says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord sets up a standard against him and helps you and I, church, to stand. How many has ever felt the Holy Spirit, you know, begin to warn you about things or to begin to prepare you about things or to direct your path? Don't go there, go here. Don't say that, say this. Somebody know what I mean? If you notice one thing about God, if he stops you from saying one thing, he'll give you something else to say. Instead of going and making things worse, why don't you speak something that will make things better? Is that okay? Sometimes we stop at just not saying the wrong thing when God wants us, I'll give you the right thing to say. Well, I'm reading this, church, and he sent Timothy to go and begin to work in them. He said that no man should be moved by these afflictions. That word move is the Greek say eno, which means shaken or wobbly. God doesn't want us to be shaky or wobbly in our spirit, in our faith. You ever see a piece of furniture that looks wobbly? Nobody wants to sit on that. Nobody won't, you know. How many has ever seen babies, you know, how they wobble through the house? And especially when they're first learning. Or maybe when people become older, you know, they become a little more shaky, you know, like our president, a little wobbly. Don't be moved by these afflictions. The word affliction here is the Greek thalipos, which means a physical, emotional distress causing temptation. Boy, did you hear this? A physical or emotional thing that you're going through that causes temptation just to what? To give in to it. I mean, has ever felt like you just had something and you just gave in to it?
You just felt like you were going to have a bad day, so you just gave in to it. It's going to be one of those days. Don't say that. God's able to change that. Even if it starts off wrong, God can get in that thing and make it right. Come on, somebody, help me. Don't give in to that. But this is something here that moved. Don't be moved by the afflictions. Paul writing that this is the kind of thing that he was trying to tell them when he was with them in Thessalonica. He had warned them. He had prepared them. So he sends Timothy to make sure that they had not succumbed to the temptation. Now, the temptation here is meaning to give in to a promise of more ease by a contrary course. That means, you know, just giving in to make things easier. Nobody's ever done that. You give in to something even when you know that you were right, and you know, but you gave in because you didn't want to fight. You wanted to make it easy. Lest by some means the tempter, having tempted you in our labor, be in vain. How Satan often comes, church, with a compromise. He loves to try to get you to compromise, you know, with the world. Compromise is an agreement made to settle a dispute by each side's making concessions. You know, this is the thing about it, you know, church. We don't want to get to the point that we're allowing Satan to have some of our time. Somebody listening to me. Don't want to allow Satan to have some. How much have you gone through your day and it's been God-centered, but yet there are places, there are times during your day that you allow Satan to have some of your day?
Amen.
By coming with the wrong thoughts, you know, and you know, thinking on those things and giving into that and allowing Satan to have some of your day. This is what it's talking here about. You're compromising. You're giving in, and you're allowed. Let me tell you something. If you let him have your Sunday, somebody listen to me. Because there are some people that allow the devil to have some of their Sundays. Well, I've been in church the last two Sundays, maybe. But if you let him have Sunday, he'll want Monday. And then he'll want Tuesday. Come on, somebody, help me. I'm going to get you to that point. You know, some of you're allowing the enemy to have some of your money. Uh-oh. Got to be careful here. This is Sunday morning, isn't it? Come back tonight. I'll just let it all hang out. Not going to be satisfied with letting Satan have some of my peace or my joy. What does that mean, Pastor? Well, sometimes you're happy and sometimes you're not. God don't want that. God, church, I believe we can be happy no matter what we're going through. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I believe, church, that we can have that joy of the Lord even when we shouldn't have it. Come on. That kind of a, you know, that, well, anyway. I'm not going to allow the enemy to have anything. If I feel, church, that he's trying to have some of my family, well, Pastor, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. No. That's the world's thinking. Why would I want that, church, if I could? No, Lord, I believe you can do it all. I believe I can have it all. Come on, somebody. If he can do it all, I can have it all. If he's done it all, I can have it all. Somebody getting this with me. I believe, church, that he hung on the cross, and what did he say? It is finished. So if he's done it all, we can have it all. Oh, somebody just got to change your thinking here. Don't let the devil get you to the point that you settle for less than all. Don't let it get you to the point you settle for some. Well, I have some peace. And I have some quiet. No, I want it all. Anybody else? Timothy came with good news. He comes back to Paul with good news. And that word good news here is the Greek evangelizomo, which where we get the word evangelist. That means to preach the gospel. So when they come back with the good news, they're preaching. They're actually preaching to Paul. Well, this is encouraging him. How our life in Christ can preach to others. You can preach without preaching. Somebody listening to me. You can preach without being preachy. You can preach to somebody without telling them you're going to hell. I think it's better if you preach to them and tell them that you can go to heaven. This is what God wants, isn't it? I tell you what, church, in the 70s when I grew up, it was a lot of concentration on hell, 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 hell. And it was trying to keep young people from hell. That's a good thing. But church, when you start preaching love and you start preaching heaven and you start preaching the goodness of God, that's what turns people from those things. It's your goodness that brings me to repentance. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Just by staying, here he is, you can preach just by staying strong in the faith. We had a little birthday party for Little River in here. He turned two the other night, and we had a little birthday party for him, and we had one of the pinatas for the kids. And the kids went up there, you know, they all lined up, and they were up there trying to break that pinata, all of them. And finally, my oldest grandson, six, Jace, he gets up there, and he was swinging away, and he hits that thing, and finally it breaks loose. All over the floor, and they all of them run, you know, to the candy and get that kid. And then afterwards, he goes and he gets in the car with his mom and dad. And he said, "You know what, mom and dad?" He said, "When I went up there," he said, "before it was my turn," he said, "I started praying." He said, "God, give me the strength to break this for everybody." Somebody listen to me. Who told you that, Pastor? His dad told me. See, he got in the car and he's preaching to his mom and dad. Somebody listening to me? I got up there and I went and I started praying, "God, give me strength." And he said, "You know what?" He said, "God gave me strength." Boy, anybody still got that kind of faith like a child? That when you ask God to do something, that God's going to do something. And you know what? God will not fail. He will not fail those little children because he wants them to continue to believe him for the rest of it. I'm going to show you what I'm able to do. Amen. You know, church, it says here in verse 7, "We were comforted in our affliction, in our distress, by your faith." The Thessalonians' faith in their affliction comforted Paul in his distress. When you see somebody else going through something, church, it gives you comfort when you're going through the same thing. Hey, wait a minute. If they can go through this, so can I. It was when he was going through his distress and his anxiety and emotional, mental attack. You know, how those churches, you know, have stayed strong in the faith have encouraged us. How many picked up your Bible and you just begin to read about David going against Goliath and it encouraged you to go against some of your giants. You know, you read about that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how they went through the fire and weren't burned. Anybody know what I mean? How the Israelites came through the water and it didn't come past them. You know, we got that same promise. The Lord tells me, church, that we can go through the fire and not be burned. We can go through the water and it will not come past us. So what are we doing? Daniel. Oh, my. I've been reading on Daniel. I'm in chapter 10 now. Let me read a little bit of this, can I? "In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks." Mourning. You know what it was? The Bible. I read, church, that 50,000, though 50,000 of the Jews returned to Jerusalem to rebuild it. Remember we were talking about Cyrus the king when he allowed them finally, after 70 years of captivity, to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. There were 50,000 of them that went back to Jerusalem to rebuild. At the same time, there were many of the Jews that stayed in Babylon. There were many of them that decided, you know what? Been in captivity for 70 years, and here's your chance for freedom, and they decide to stay in Babylon. I believe that this is what caused him, one of the reasons that he was mourning as he was praying. You know, some can become comfortable even with bondage. Are you listening to me? I can get to the point that I can deal with my fear. I'm dealing with my addiction, my bitterness, you know, where I blame everybody else for my mood. Somebody listening to me, there's time, church, that you can get to the point that you can live with in bondage. I've seen people. Sometimes I look at people and I'm wondering how far down is bottom. Anybody know what I mean? Because I see church, I see many times there's bondage and there's addiction and there's things that are holding people back and they continue to live with that. When the Word of God, church, is trying to impress us that we don't have to live like that. God is able to set you free, and who the Son sets free is free. Yeah. Well, I'm reading here about Daniel anyways. In chapter 9, we were talking about this Wednesday night, I think. In chapter 9, it showed us that while Daniel was praying, the angel Gabriel came to him with the answer. While he was praying, we talked about it, that somebody had read that portion of scripture of Daniel's prayer in Hebrew, and it took them 3 minutes to read that. So the Bible tells us that it must have taken Gabriel 3 minutes to get from the throne to Daniel. Well, just think about that. Well, here's Daniel in chapter 10, and he's praying. And it says here, Daniel was mourning for 3 full weeks. Daniel was praying for 21 days before receiving an answer. He wasn't eating. He wasn't drinking. He begins to talk about it in the 4th and 20th day of the month. He said, as I was on the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, he said, then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine loins of opaz. He said, his body was like the barrel, and his face was an appearance of lightning. His eyes were lamps of fire. His arms and feet were like polished brass. And the voice of his words were like the voice of a multitude. Sounds a little bit like John, doesn't it? Revelation, he said, behold, I saw him, and his eyes were like fire. He said his feet were like fine brass. His voice was the sound of many. He's talking about the Lord there. But this is probably talking about an angel. As I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell on them so that they fled to hide themselves. Well, just think about that. You know, there are times, church, that there will be those that will flee and try to hide and run from the vision. Anybody know what I mean? There, you know, we got a vision around here, don't we? And that everybody gets excited, you know, about what we're believing God to do. God's the one who gives you the vision to begin to believe and begin to pray for those things to take place, and God's going to bring those things to pass. But how many times, church, do we get to a point where all of a sudden, you know, I'm excited, Pastor, about the vision, until you start talking about praying and fasting and, you know, offerings? Then there's a lot of times that's when some people will, you know, all of a sudden run and hide from the vision. Wait a minute now. You didn't say anything about no fasting. Let me go on. Verse 12. Then said, fear not, Daniel. He said unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you did set your heart to understand and to chasten thyself before God, thy words were heard, and I have come for thy words. In other words, he said, from the moment that you started praying, he said, God heard it. And he said, I have come because of the words that you prayed. Anybody listening to this? Let's not encourage every one of you. See, there's times, church, that you will pray and you feel that God doesn't hear you, God hears you. And there's times, church, that God will come and he will come with an answer because of what you prayed. I believe, church, if we come in and start off with a praise, oh, it's going to help a whole lot of things. Lord, I thank you for another day. I thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done for me. I give you praise, Lord, for everything I know that you're about to do. Come on, somebody. I believe that that's the kind of thing that moves the hand of God. And he said, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. I remained there with the king of Persia. Now I come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for the vision is yet for many days. God heard his prayer from the beginning. He said, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me for 20 days. Boy, just think about this, church. There was an enemy at work here. Kind of reminds me of 2 Kings, you know, chapter 6, when we read the story about Elisha and how that God had spoken many times to Elisha and would tell Elisha what the enemy was about to do, and he would warn the king. Say, king, don't go there because that's where the enemy's going to be. And finally, the enemy got to the point that the king of the enemy of Syria says to them, he said, we need to find out what's going on here. And he said, I'll tell you what's going on. One of his men said, there's a man of God named Elisha. And God tells him everything that you're talking about, even in your bedroom. That's powerful. He said, the Lord speaks to him and lets him know everything that you're going to do. So he said, go get him. So they send their army down to get Elisha. Elisha's servant goes and opens the door to the house. You remember? And he looks out and he sees them completely surrounded by an army. He comes back in and he begins to tell Elisha, he said, we've got troubles. Enemies out there. We are completely surrounded. What does Elisha do? Elisha begins to pray for him. He wants him to understand that there's more than meets the eye. See, our problem is a lot of times, church, we need discernment. How many realize that there is a gift of the Spirit called discernment? You know, oftentimes your first impression can fool you. Somebody know what I mean? Nobody's ever met somebody for the first time. Oh, he seems so nice. Oh, how many's ever met somebody for the first time? You know what? I can't stand them. After a while, you get to know them a little bit better. See, that's the point of it, church. I remember in John chapter 4, the woman at the well first saw Jesus, and when she first saw him, she thought he was just another Jew. He starts talking to her a little bit. The next thing you know, she thinks, oh, wait a minute, he's not just another Jew. I believe he's a prophet. By the time that he's done talking with her, she runs into the city and she tells the men of the city, she said, behold, she said, I believe that the Christ has come. So he went from just another Jew to a prophet to the Christ that they were waiting on. The men of the city come looking to him, and they also heard the words that he spoke and believed, church, that this is the one that we've been waiting on. Yes. See, church, the more time that you spend with somebody, the more you can see the real person. Anybody know what I mean? That's why, church, it behooves us to spend more time with God. The more time you spend with God, the more that you learn about God. And the more that you know God. And the more that you will become like him. Uh-oh. Discernment. Old Solomon said, he said, Lord, he said, I need to be able to discern between good and bad. Don't want to be like Nineveh, church. The Bible said, talked about Nineveh, the city that God was going to destroy until Jonah went there and preached to them. He said, but those people, they can't discern their left hand from the right hand. Right. Amen. That's the kind of world we're living in today, church. People don't know the right from the left. They don't know anything. But church, God wants us to get to the point that Jesus began to talk about in Matthew 16. Let me see if I can find it. Matthew 16, Jesus said, he began to kind of, you know, correct them one day. He said, when it's evening, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. In the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. And, oh, you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the time. In other words, he said, you can discern the weather. You can tell by walking out what kind of weather it's going to be in the morning, but you can't discern the signs of the time. Oh, I believe this is something, the church, that God wants you and I to be able to understand. He wants us to be able, church, to discern the signs of the time. Elisha prayed that God would open this man's spiritual eyes so that he would see that there are more that are for us than those that be against us. Yes. He sends it. He prays and he sends his servant out again and he sees the enemy. He said, but in the mountains surrounding the enemy, he said, I see chariots of fire. Yeah. Oh, somebody listening to that. He prayed that God would open his spiritual eyes. You know, I believe that we need to start praying, Lord, open my spiritual eye. We need to start praying that God would open our spiritual eyes so that we might discern the signs of the time. Lord, we don't want to be deceived. We don't want to be duped. We don't want to be fooled. We don't want to be made ashamed. Amen. Bible said, let not my enemy triumph over me. Let me not be ashamed. The same spiritual battle that Daniel was going through to keep him from the word revealing the end times is coming against the church today. Are you listening to me? It is. I said that same demonic spirit. He said it was a spirit, the prince of Persia. This is telling us, church, that there are demons that have power over certain areas. Right. How many believe there's demonic spirits right here, even here in Ponca City? Church, the more that you give in to the world, the more that you give in to the ungodly, the more that you give in to the things of the enemy, you're going to find, church, a demonic spirit involved in that. Come on, somebody, help me. The more that even this area allows, you know, the things of sin to come in, church, you're going to find demonic power growing. Amen. Pastor, this is Sunday morning. Do we have to hear this now? Right. Amen. I remember the time, church, when I was preaching my first wedding. And I got done and I preached them and I was so happy, just relieved to get through my first wedding. And all of a sudden, we were outside and everybody was throwing rice, you know, at the couple. They were getting ready to leave and they were out there with their families and everything. But there was a family that came from California to the wedding, and they had a little boy. And they said, "Pastor, we have a little boy here with us, our little son, and he is bound by the devil." They said, "We cannot control him. We're having a..." And I looked over and he was behind the building looking at me. He must have been 7 or 8 years old. He was behind it. He was trying to avoid me, stay away from me. I said, "Bring him into the church." They brought him into the church and I started praying for him, and he hit the ground and we started praying over him, and God set that little boy free. And the devil that was controlling him came out of him, and they had told us. But it was so funny because the bride was standing outside, and the only thing she could say was, "Now?" He's doing this now? Is this okay, church? That little boy got a miracle. They let us know even years later, church, how God had set him free, and he was not the same from that day on.
Amen.
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 Oh my. Come on, somebody, don't stop me now. But I believe, church, that same demonic spirit is trying to come against you and I, come against the church this morning, trying to keep us from seeing, from knowing, and participating in God's plans in the last day. Oh my. That's what it was with Daniel, church. This was, but you know what? Daniel found out that there was more that were for him. I got more power than what's trying to withhold. I got, Bible says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. If God is for me, who can be against me? Sometimes, church, it may take days. It may take weeks. Sometimes it takes years for people to decide that they're going to pray every day. Did you hear me? I said, sometimes it takes years for people to develop a habit of praying every day. Sometimes it takes to get people to the place that they want to read their Bible every day. Sometimes it seems like forever if you could get people to attend church regularly. I've had people say to me, "Why did it take me so long?" You know why, church? Because the enemy has been fighting you to keep you from it. Somebody listening? The enemy will fight you to keep you from praying. Every day. He'll get you so busy. He'll get you so wrapped up in everything else that you don't have to. "Oh, I miss talking to God today." Well, if you wake up in the middle of the night, church, and you realize that, it's not too late. Start praying right there. You go to bed and lay your head on your My Pillow. They got a new one my wife wants, 2.0. Somebody see that? 2.0. They got the new. Well, the next time you lay your head down on your My Pillow and you realize, I've been so busy, I didn't get a chance to talk to God today. Start talking to him right there. If you read your Bible, you'll find out in the book of Psalm that David said, "I commune with him upon my bed." Don't tell me you just, Pastor, the day just got away from me. If you're still thinking about it, you still got time. God's trying to do something here, church. God's trying to create something. He's trying to create a lifestyle for you. Yeah. where every day you read your Bible, every day you're in prayer, where you get to the point that you want so much of God, you won't be the first one there and the last one to leave church. Yeah. But the enemy will fight you to keep you from it. Why, Pastor? Because there's a blessing there. We see church even when he comes against Daniel. What's he trying to fight him for? Because he's coming against him. Because I got a word for you. And this is something, Daniel, that you were wanting. You were praying for. You know, that's the way that it is, church. A lot of times you may be praying for something and it may happen just like that. 3 minutes. And then there's other times, the very next chapter, you be praying for something. It ain't happened in 21 days. Well, God was teaching Daniel something. He's teaching him perseverance. You got to get in there and you got to hang in. If he would have given up on the 20th day, church, he wouldn't have received his breakthrough. There's a lot of times, church, I believe that we give up on the right there on the brink of a breakthrough. We just give in to the devil. Just give in and concede. Boy, I'm telling you what, this is something he wants you to be persistent in prayer, in faith, in love. Something Paul was trying to instill in the Thessalonians. He was trying to get across. He said, night and day, he said, I am praying exceedingly that we may be able to see your faith in your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Boy, he's writing to the church, and he was encouraging the church just a minute ago. If you notice in the word that we were reading in Thessalonians, he was encouraging them. He said, because of the way that you handled your affliction, it helped us in ours. It gave us strength going through what we're going through. Seeing that you came through yours, seeing that you were strong and that you stood. And now he's writing them and telling them, we can't wait to see you face to face so that we might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Right. Amen. Boy, he was just patting him on the back 1 minute, and then he's telling them, we can't wait to see you so we can perfect that which is lacking. Right. Amen. Well, he goes on, if you notice, and tells them what was lacking. He said that you might increase and abound in love toward one another, toward all men, as we have loved you. Somebody listen to this. He said that there's a need to increase and abound. So if there's a need to increase, then there was something lacking. You have not reached your full potential. Come on, somebody. So we sat here this morning, church, and I believe a lot of times, this is what God's trying to get across to us. Hey, as good as you're doing, you can do better. Come on, somebody, help me. I don't know if that sounds good to anybody, but it sounds good to me. Hey, wait a minute. As good as the church is doing, we can do better. That's what he's saying here. Isn't that a thought, church? Because this is what God's trying to tell you. Hey, wait a minute. I'm encouraging you. You're doing great. Every time we come in here, church, God is blessing us. I believe that God has got even more for us. As good as it is and as good as you're doing, you can do even better. Yes. As much as you're praying, as much as you're fasting, as much as you're believing, as much as you're giving, I believe you can do even better.
Yes.
Ooh. Listen, and he's trying to encourage them in the things that maybe, boy, I this is church, and he goes on a little bit further, that the Lord may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. Holiness that comes from the heart. Are you listening to this? Oh, yeah. He's telling them a couple things that you need to increase and abound in. Abound. Or being productive. Come on, somebody. Isn't this what we want to be, the most productive we've ever been? So God's looking at us. He's looking at Grace Avenue. I can see you've been doing good, but you can do better. Come on, somebody. You can have even more. You can see even more take place. As good as God has been, church, and as good as churches we have received from the Lord, he's trying to encourage us that if we will just stay in there with him, that he's able to do even greater things. He's telling them this here, church, about their holiness. He said, this is something that he's trying to encourage them in. He said, because this comes from the heart. This is not an outward thing. Not just an outward thing. See, when you receive Christ into your heart, church, and you begin to develop a relationship with him, you have a desire to please him. Somebody listening to me. I got married 30-some years ago, and for 30-some years, I've had a desire to please my wife. I don't like it when she's unhappy. Anybody know what I mean? Even if I just sense a little unhappiness. Oh, no, this is not good. We're going to straighten this out right now. You know, isn't that funny, church, how you can have a personal relationship with someone and you feel that way, but yet when it comes to you and God, wait a minute, so God's a little mad at me. Eh. So I haven't gone to church in a month. So anybody listening to me? But that's that thing, church, within you that is, if it's heartfelt, all of a sudden you begin to desire to please him. You want to please him. You will change. All things will pass away. All things become new because you have a desire. You know the love of God that he had for you, that he sent his only begotten son. I could spend the rest of my life and never pay him back. Come on, somebody. So what do I do, church? I want to live for him. That's what it's all about, isn't it?
Yes.
I want to live for him. That's what holiness is all about. So that at the coming of the Lord Jesus, with all his saints, this is what it's all about. This is what it's all leading up to, church, the coming of the Lord. That we might see and that we might know and that we might be able to discern and participate in God's will in the last days. So that we might be able to identify, church, the work of the enemy and be assured that we have power over all power of the devil.
Yes.
Come on, somebody. That comes from getting in your word, church, realizing, church, that, you know, he said he would give me exceeding and abundantly above that which I ask or think according to the power that works in me. Oh, I can abound and I can produce. And this can be the most productive year that I've ever had according to the power that works in me. All I got to do, church, is continue to submit my will to him, continue to follow after him, continue, church, to want his will over my will, and watch what God gonna do.
Yes.
We find ourselves this morning back in that place. Lord, if I'm lacking in any area, if I'm lacking in love, somebody listening to me.
Yes.
Because this is... You see how important this is. Jesus said, this is my commandment. Jesus said, they will know that you are my disciples by how you love each other.
Yes.
Are you listening to this?
Amen.
They will know that you're my disciples by how you love each other. So if we're sitting here this morning and we suddenly realize, well, Pastor, you've been encouraging us that, you know, it's going good. Yeah. But God's got even better. And if we're sitting here and if we find ourselves lacking in love or lacking in faith or even lacking in our faithfulness and our giving and our commitment to the Lord on a daily basis, God don't want you just on Sunday. God don't want you just on Sunday or Sunday night or Wednesday night. God wants you all the time, 24/7. Lord, if I'm lacking, if I'm having trouble separating myself from the world, that's what holiness is, separating yourself. Come out from among them and be separate. If I'm having trouble separating myself, anybody know what I mean? Pastor, I'm giving the devil too much time. I'm spending too much time on simple, unnecessary, meaningless, unfruitful things. Been on my phone too much. Checking on. Not benefiting my spirit man at all. Anybody? Now, if you're on there reading your Bible, if you're on your phone watching Grace Tabernacle on YouTube, woo, that's going to help somebody. That's going to benefit you. But if you're on there, you know, trying to find your next deal. Right in here. Oh, if you're on there trying to find out what everybody else is doing. Some people spend all day just see what everybody else is doing. I'm amazed at what people will put on there. In Oklahoma City, eating my meal. Congratulations, I'm in Ponca City and I haven't eaten yet. Some of you know what I mean. I'm still waiting for my wife to get home. Sitting with my honey in Oklahoma City, eating at our favorite. Checking in at Ross. How about checking in to Grace Tabernacle? You know, that's a good idea. Why don't you? My wife's back there. I think that would be a good idea from now on when you come into Grace Tabernacle on Sunday morning, checking in, going to church, having a great time, expecting big things from the Lord today, checking into Grace Tabernacle. Yeah. Yeah. If you snooze, you lose. But we know what God can do. Isn't that right, church? We've seen it. We know what God can do. Seen it many times. This is what God is wanting to do in the last day. Some of the things that God's wanting to do in the last day.
Yes.
And the only way, church, that we're going to know these things is if you get in your word, you get into that place with God, you say, Lord, begin to work in me if there's anything that's lacking in my life. If I'm lacking faith, if I'm lacking prayer, if I'm lacking my word, whatever it is, God, begin to fill that up. Fix that right now. Bow your heads with me in Jesus' name. Father.